All right, folks, welcome to another episode of Strength Academy. I think we're in the 40s now. We were just discussing which episode, but we'll keep track later probably on, but a little better. But I'm joined again by Grayson.
How's it going, everybody?
And we have another special guest, reoccurring special guest, Tyler Sanchez.
Hey, guys.
So this past weekend, we got to compete in our hometown of Albuquerque, New Mexico for the American Open Series 2 for USA Weightlifting, and we had some pretty phenomenal results and a pretty good weekend overall. Do you want to kind of recap, Grayson, what happened?
Yeah, so we had, we ended up with a total of, I think, 19 lifters over the course of the 3 days. We had a few people doing their first meets of this size, and most of those guys doing their first meets, this was kind of a most of our masters first times getting out there. Our up and coming masters team, hopefully we'll be taking a big group to Masters Nationals this next time. But yeah, everybody did really well. Joe in her first performance got, I think she swept gold in her masters category.
Yeah, I think she got gold, yeah.
Allie and Desa both brought home some masters medals. Colby shirred up a gold medal in the clean and jerk in the youths.
Yep.
And we had three senior medals. I think Consuelo took bronze in the total.
Yep.
And D, bronze across the board. Two bronze.
Snatch in total, I think.
Yeah, snatch in total.
And then Tyler brought home gold across the board in the 81
seniors. Yep.
So that was a really exciting. This is the most. Up until this point, our gym has earned one bronze medal back when we were the other club at Reno in the first American Open Series. So this was kind of a big deal for us. We had some people getting down to the podium in the senior divisions, and was really happy to see how everybody did. Mundo swept, silver across the board?
Bronze across the board.
Yeah, so that's
not bad.
You've now medaled at every American Open Series you've participated
in.
Yeah,
every single one that I've been to, I've gotten a medal from.
So that's pretty cool. It was an intense weekend. Yeah. We had first session and last session on Friday and Saturday, and like six people going at once on Sunday.
Yeah.
So we had kind of a busy weekend, but I'm really proud of how everybody did. You know, everybody made a lot of lifts. We had a good showing overall. It was hectic, and our people came out to help volunteer and load plates when they weren't lifting, and it was a good good highlight of New Mexico weightlifting as a community.
Yeah, for sure. I think, I just want to say, like, if any of y'all from the gym are listening, I am very proud of all of you, not just in your efforts in weightlifting, but, like, in supporting each other and just being part of the general weightlifting community as well. And I think that overall the meet was run very smoothly.
Shout out to Joaquin for organizing and keeping everything running smoothly. I don't think anything started behind schedule all weekend.
Yeah, I heard a few, like, stories about some run-ins with, like, hobos and nearly getting stabbed. But as far as the weightlifting meet went, it was very smooth, very well run.
Well, these are just, you know, people not accustomed to what it's like to be in Albuquerque.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it's funny that we kind of think of it as a normality. But, but yeah, if you're coming from Delaware, it's going to be a bit of a rude awakening.
Yeah.
To downtown Albuquerque.
Yeah.
I didn't see the altitude affecting people as much as I thought it would. I thought we'd see more.
Really?
Not paying attention?
A few people were struggling real bad.
I think the 67A session got hit really bad with those three bomb outs. They were all going for world spots, but those are all weights that they can hit.
Yeah.
And then I think it had a lot to do with Maddie Rogers, too.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I felt so bad. I was in the back just kind of working with another session, kind of peeked over, and she looked like she was dying.
Yeah.
And I know she's been battling an injury, but I was like, man, she doesn't look okay. Like, something looks like it's hurting her.
Yeah, so, like, I was in the back. I was watching at the end of their session when they were going for the final clean and jerks and things like that, and she was in the back, and it looked like she was dealing with some kind of, like, back injury, and she was trying to recover from a clean jerk, and she was just sitting there huffing and puffing, like, she just could not catch her breath.
Okay, so I just wasn't paying close enough attention. So altitude was a bit of a factor. Yeah. So sorry to everybody that came out and couldn't breathe. But yeah, I think I'm overall really happy with how it went. I was exhausted by the end of the weekend, it was a good time overall. We had too many people to go through everybody's performance, but congratulations to everybody on the team. Y'all did great, and excited to get training for the next one.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so that kind of covers AO2. Pretty short, brief recap, but most of what we wanted to talk about today was with Tyler and his experience going up to AO2. So Tyler was kind of introduced to a hybrid program. It was a Bulgarian-style program where he was hitting heavy singles the majority of the time. Squats were kept relatively high in intensity. And he kind of had like a short training block of this style leading up to it. So
we had after Nationals, we took a week off, but we had 8 weeks to get ready for this one. And we were looking at Tyler's numbers and we saw that we had this huge reserve of leg strength in the squat, because you were doing about 245, I think,
I hit 240 for a single when I was attempting a double there.
Okay.
So I don't think we ever went for a heavy single, or if we did, it was a couple weeks later, and I still just hit 240.
So we had this big reserve of leg strength, and the theory was, well, since the overall classic lifts, going heavy on them is a lower percentage of maximal effort, and we were also far enough out from the next important meet, being American Open Finals, that we could do a little bit of an experiment. And the goal was to see if we could squeeze out any more kind of results in the classic lifts by just pushing the intensity with them relentlessly for about 8 weeks. So we kind of ramped up the squatting, but we were squatting between 6 and 10, 12 times a week. At the highest point. So we were doing, you know, heavy single squats before and after maxing the total. Where we deviated a little bit from a true Bulgarian would be that we used blocks and occasionally hangs or complexes a couple of times. I think that's kind of important because we needed to work on some pulling strength and some positional things. But other than that, we really kept the intensity super high. We basically did power snatch, power clean and power jerk, snatch, clean and jerk, front squat, back squat. And that was essentially it for 6 days a week, that entire cycle.
Yeah, and there was a little bit of squat variation too. To kind of save his legs some days, he worked on pin squats off the blocks, which kind of eliminated that eccentric portion of the squat. And still kept his leg strength up, but allowed him to kind of like reserve some of that energy for some of the other lifts, the classic lifts during the week. And so there was some variation and some differentiation between what a traditional Bulgarian style was and what Grayson put together for Tyler. And so what was your overall like experience with the program, Tyler?
It started off really well, and it slowly just tanked really bad. Pretty much it was straight linear, straight down into a crash and burn towards the end. It was fun to do. It was a good learning experience. I think we got some good info for how we can train now with our regular training and hold on to a peak a little bit longer, so we can get a little bit more consistent in those upper ranges, which was one of the big things I liked about it, was I got to hit numbers repeatedly that I would normally only get to hit at the end of the cycle. I got to do it for 4 weeks straight before I started to not be able to hit them anymore.
Right.
Yeah, and it ended up being that the top end snatches that were kind of just the standard, kind of, you think about a lot of times in Bulgarian programming, people talk about your daily minimums. So what's like the lowest weight that you always hit? And that ended up being in excess of what we needed to open with at the meet. So you were hitting, you know, second attempt weights fairly consistently. I think that, yeah, we did see kind of like peak numbers happening around week 4. And then kind of a steady decline, as I think that a lot of it was probably some mental fatigue. Do you feel like you just kind of had, like, in week six, was the willingness to get under 125 just not quite as strong as it was in week two?
Oh yeah, definitely plays a factor, trying to stay mentally in it, especially when you're trying to go heavy, but you don't want to take too many sets because that's more work that you just did. Right. But you can't take too little because then you're not warmed up at all. I mean, I warm up very little, but yeah. Not warmed up at all isn't very good.
So I think one of the things that I kind of noticed was that your level of hesitancy to get under some of these weights decreased over time. Was that just because, like, you just had more attempts overall with those weights, or that you just felt more comfortable and more strong in the positions that you needed to be in, like, leading up? Because, like, I noticed that, like, for some of the cleans, at weights that were near maximal, like, where you were starting to hit, mm-hmm. you would have a tendency to kind of, you know, hesitate getting under, but then towards the end, like, you were starting to really get after it and start, you know, being more confident with being able to put yourself in the position to get under the barbell.
Yeah, it definitely helped out a lot. We had a good training cycle before where I got back to being confident with weights that I should have been confident with. Mm-hmm. So that helped a lot. And then I just built on top of that of being like, okay, these are weights I can do when I'm on the platform. Right. I need to do them here without the adrenaline. And then we can throw more weight on when we're in comp.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting in that... the weights that I think the biggest benefit was, you know, if you think about the level of like kind of emotional excitation you need to hit big weights, that was probably the best thing that we accomplished in this training block, was being able to stay calm when snatching 125 and not needing to really kind of get mm-hmm. like in the zone and get being amped. Able to casually do those lifts. I think that really paid off in competition, because it was definitely one of the toughest meets we've had as far as in the back, because there were a lot of people lifting around the same weights.
Yeah, for snatch, it was definitely, there were a few guys, especially that I didn't expect to be where they were, and then they came out and made snatches when they needed to make it, which was really good on their part, so yeah. Definitely... gave us a little more jostling back there than we had planned on.
But I think that just having the confidence and that little bit of extra adrenaline, I mean, everything looked pretty easy.
Felt good.
Across the board. So yeah, I think that 8 weeks might have been a little long.
So, I mean, not to interrupt that flow, but like, Tyler set all new state records, too.
That's true.
That was all. So, like, every lift that he ended up on set a new state record, and then the total was a new state record as well. So, like, these were all lifts that mattered in competition, but they were...
also PR attempts.
PR attempts, yeah. So, like, he was hitting maximal attempt efforts for his own personal, like, records, as well as records for the state, and then, like, vying for that first place podium spot as well. So, like, these were... It was kind of like a high-pressure situation, but it didn't feel like it because he knew he could hit those weights.
Yeah, and I think one of the really interesting things is everybody's, whether you admit it or not, everybody's kind of fascinated by the Bulgarian training method. Yeah. There's a lot of people that, you know, have done it their whole careers. There's kind of, you know, this folklore surrounding... what is it like, you know, where, and you know, you hear stories of, you know, I came into the gym and I couldn't even squat 70 kilos that day because my legs were just so done. And 3 days later I hit a PR, and those kind of huge turbulent waves. I think that we saw those in full effect because there were some days that were just real bad and real beat down. But I think what's important to remember is that if you're going to attempt this style of training, which I think it's safe to say that I don't really recommend most people, and we probably won't do anything this extreme again. It was more of kind of a trial experiment here. But some important things to have is not being upset when you have bad days, because good days are probably 2 days away anyway. You're going to have those kind of beat down moments. But I think if you're going to try doing a few months of this style of programming, make sure that you have enough reserve in your leg strength that you're not trying to clean 95% of your front squat.
Yeah.
5 days a week. I think that's probably a really important baseline. Like, you need to have a good strength reserve, because, with where your squat is at, we didn't really see any PRs in the squat, I don't think. I think you might have hit one PR in the front squat.
Yeah, I think I finally hit the 210 front squat that I'd been trying to hit for like the past year and a half. But that was, I attempted it way more times than I would have in any other training cycle through this way. So, of course, I should have hit it at least once.
Yeah.
For how many attempts I took at it. One time it had to go right.
Yeah. And I think that, so if you already have a good base of leg strength and your classic lifts are lagging a little bit and you need to peak for a meet, it might be a way that you can approach it. But I think, you know, keeping in mind that Tyler is essentially as close to full-time lifting as we can get, you know. So he really has a recovery center in his house. You were doing daily ice baths, right?
Yeah, full setup for ice baths at the house. And just having a full support system when I get home made it a lot easier, too. Like, my fiance is always there. She's always there to help out if I need... If I'm not getting to PT for the next 5 days and I'm like, hey, I really need you to dig this scraper into my calves, she'll scrape it into my calves. So, I mean, just having somebody else there to help take the burden of, like, I had the worst training day ever. I don't want to go in tomorrow. They're just being like, okay, so we're going to the gym at 9 tomorrow? I'm like, yep, okay, cool.
Well, so that's what I kind of wanted to ask you about, too, is just like, so I'm not really an advocate for the Bulgarian-style training either. I think it like, really beats up athletes, and like Grayson said, this was a short-term experiment just to see like what it would look like if we could accomplish that type mm-hmm. of training in a short amount of time. And so I was kind of wondering, like, what were some contributing factors to the success of the program for you? So what did your recovery look like? Because recovery is probably the most important aspect of being able to implement this type of program, because like, you can't beat your body up and just continually do it and not have a method of recovery. Mm. So, like, what kind of recovery did you implement? And what did your schedule look like, surrounding this type of training?
Yeah, so as far as, like, recovery was just making sure that I stayed on top of, like, stretching either at night or in the morning, just getting some sort of stretch in throughout the day. I have a giant freezer that I turned into ice bath. I was doing that 5 times a week, just whenever I could.
What was the duration of those?
I usually sit in there for about 10 minutes. It's usually about a minute to a minute and a half without having my feet in until my legs go numb. Then I'll dunk my feet in for the rest of it and try to... I was going, like, trying to get as low as I could, like, neck deep, but I was doing them at night, and then I was having trouble warming up before bed, and I wasn't sleeping the best.
Right.
So I switched it into just kind of getting my lower body in there up to right around chest height, and that's been working great and feel good afterwards. And then changed up the diet, so we added a lot more carbs in there, kind of finally hitting a good balance point between keeping my weight where it needs to be, but also making sure that I'm eating enough to train properly.
Right.
And then
we ramped your calories up fairly significantly from where we were at the end of the last cycle, right?
The end of my last cut, I think I was around 2,200. And right now I think I'm anywhere from 28 to 32, depending on how good I was eating that day.
Yeah.
And if the rustic across the way from my work has fried Oreos or not, that kind of sends it over a little bit.
You say fried Oreos?
Yeah.
just when you thought they couldn't get any more calorically dense.
Oh, geez. So good.
Fried
Oreos. I had like 3 last night while I was at work. And then I realized I needed to eat real food because I felt sick. But it was, so just fixed up the diet. That was really good. That helps with recovery. Staying on top of stretching as much as I can. And then I went to PT usually once a week. been able to get into the clinic to see Anna once a week, or she has a couple techs that work with her, and they'll get some scraping in there and kind of loosen up some of the muscles that were really getting bad. My right IT band was just angry the whole time. Yeah. Just, there was no, it was never like, oh yeah, it feels better now. It was just always angry, so it was maintaining the, keeping the anger kind of at a bare minimum.
Right. So, with this, with the Bulgarian style of training, I've seen those videos, like the documentary that they do. With
School of Champions.
The School of Champions. Like, all the lifters look just so beat up and defeated. And I think there was a couple times in the training cycle where you came in and you're just like, oh, you just look so tired. And there's a certain aspect of it that's very mental. And so, how did you deal with the mental side of your training, knowing that there was light at the end of the tunnel, that there was this competition that's coming mm-hmm. up that you have to prep for, and this is peaking you toward that? Like, so what did you do, and what did you tell yourself when you had those hard days where it's just like your body doesn't want to cooperate or something feels off? Like, so how did you continue to push through those points in training?
Well, first was being okay with missing, which I've usually been okay with. I don't normally... not the normal person that needs to, like, end on a make.
Yeah.
Like, if we're going for heavy singles, if I don't end on a miss, I didn't push it hard enough.
Sure.
Like, you gotta miss. So that was, that's a big thing that if you're doing it, you need to understand is there's, you're gonna miss a lot. And then the other side of it was, like, if I came in and had a bad day, like, I usually had some minimum numbers that I was trying to, like, okay, well, I hit that for the squat, cool, that's, like, my bare minimum. Okay, I hit that for snatch, I hit that for clean and jerk, like, those are the bare minimums. And then always just remembering, like, I'm gonna do this tomorrow. Like, I get another crack at it tomorrow, yeah. Or 2 days from now, depending on what we were doing. If it was squats, it was, okay, I'm gonna do this tomorrow. If it was snatch and clean and jerk, it's like, okay, well, I have powers tomorrow. That's a little bit of a rest, and then I'm doing this again the next day. So, whether you made it or not, like, it was like, you got another crack at it.
Yeah, so it's kind of like... you went in with a goal, and if you didn't exceed that goal, you knew that you would get another chance at mm-hmm. it anyway. But you would still try to hit, like, specific numbers and have
that. Yeah, I usually had a, like...
yeah, what were the minimums that you were shooting for throughout?
I think it was, at least for the beginning, I was consistently hitting over 120, which was, if I made anything over 120 for the snatch, that was like, the bare minimum, like, make that 120.
Right.
And I was doing that in, like, a 110, 120 jump, and that just become pretty routine. And then 150 or 155, I don't remember. One of those I was hitting pretty routinely.
Yeah.
And then it would get up to the 125, 130, where I'd start missing for snatch, and then 160 was usually where my sticking point for clean and jerk. Okay. Was where my body was just kind of like, hey, we're a little tired.
Yeah. So, like, what was the most difficult part of it? Of the whole process, like, whether it's the programming, whether it was, like, the days, recovery. So what was the most difficult part overall for you?
I think one of the big things that hit me hard was towards the end of it, we started having, like, technique flaws that I'd never had before, and that was really frustrating to me because we weren't doing certain things that we... like, my pool started to just have weird issues with it, and I've never had issues in the pool.
Right.
And so it was just, oh, well, we haven't done pools in 6 weeks.
Right. Like, that's, yeah, it wasn't really part of the program.
Yeah, it wasn't in the programming to do a pool, so I was just getting the pool work from snatches, or just getting the pool work from clean and jerk, which at most was 15 reps.
Yeah.
Normally it'd be... the 15 reps plus another
15 reps
yeah. of pulls.
Yeah.
So that towards the end got really frustrating that I was having issues with stuff that I didn't feel like I should have issues with. Like, I feel generally pretty sound in my technique, and so the fact that my technique was falling apart was really bugging me.
That was frustrating. Yeah, I could see that.
Because it really seemed like the first 2 or 3 weeks, it was fun, and then it was... both really hard and really boring for the last 5 weeks of the cycle. So what did you miss most about doing a more kind of like periodized training where we're doing, like, what exercise did you miss the most while you were whittled down to the bare essentials?
Ooh. I don't know if I really missed anything. It still felt like we did anything, but, like, definitely not having pulls in there felt really off. I definitely felt like I was getting out of shape doing it. Like I usually we'll do a bunch of EMOMs or we got some high rep stuff. Like I feel like I can breathe through things, and that was slowly going down where I was like, I can't breathe at all, guys.
Yeah, that's kind of an interesting point that I observed as well, is that the importance of doing conditioning work is, I mean, kind of underrated. Because usually in our off seasons, we're doing morning cardio, we're doing, you know, these sort of things. And I think you tried to do that for about 2 weeks, and then it was just, there's no energy to do anything else.
Yeah, nothing left in the tank.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, important lessons is, you know, we can train at a higher intensity for a little bit longer than we thought we could. Mm-hmm. It's possible to train that hard for 8 weeks, and despite having a slump in your numbers for a couple of weeks, the rebound effect is there. So that's kind of a nice thing to know, that we can push a little bit harder as we lead up to meets. But it also really highlighted to me the importance of keeping conditioning work in to just make you feel in better shape.
Yeah, definitely helps out a lot. I definitely feel better the more like GPP I do. Just, I feel better if I can breathe through jogging down the road.
Yeah. So, now AO2 is done and over with, the next goal is AO finals, yeah, right? So, do you have anything specific that you want to accomplish at AO finals? Just try to place as high as you can, or just try to improve upon the numbers, or is there something that like else that you want to try to accomplish leading up to that?
Placing as high as I can is always up there, right. But definitely still chasing down that 300 total. I was hoping it was going to be in reach this time, but we're definitely closer than we were. So,
I mean, we did have, I think one of the highlights for me personally, that I got most excited about was, about halfway through, you did a 170 clean off the blocks.
Yeah.
And that was really exciting to see that weight is within reach now.
And also a jerk off the blocks as well, right?
Yeah. Like, I did that right before we started training for nationals. Yeah. Or right in the beginning of that training, I got to do a heavy single, and so I've put it over my head and I've cleaned it from above knee.
Just got to put it together now.
Yeah
So it's almost there, and like with some more time and some of the things that we're probably going to implement in this next training cycle will help get you there.
Yeah, and I probably could have jerked it off the blocks, but being that I couldn't breathe through anything, I was having a lot of trouble holding stuff in my front rack without feeling like I was about to pass out all the time.
Yeah, so I think definitely it highlighted the importance of that conditioning work. But I think that it did some good. So Tyler, would you recommend this style of training to anybody after going through it?
Absolutely not. No. If you're at that point where you're trying to figure out what you need to do as an athlete, and you're at the point where your leg strength is strong enough to do it, sure, feel free, give it a go, but you'll probably learn the same thing that I did, which was you can peak a little bit longer on your regular training cycles, but to maintain this for too long, you're just going to crash and burn. It's not nothing personal. It's just this is the way the cycle gets. That's why you saw the Bulgarians look like they were dying half the time, and they got way more rest than most of us people are going to. They got to go in the morning, snatch, go eat lunch, take a nap, come back, clean and jerk, go take a nap, go back, squat.
Yeah, that's their job. Like, literally, that's all they did. But
yeah, so I think it definitely requires, like we highlighted, that huge support system of getting body work done, doing the things like ice baths, you know, keeping up with your mobility, and just kind of trying to stay in the right headspace to accomplish the task.
Positive people around you to keep you in that headspace, because there's some days where you're just like, I don't know if I want to lift anymore. It's dumb.
Yeah.
I don't like this.
Yeah, and that's why I think, you know, I've seen, you know, I think it was John Bros said something lately that, you know, the only reason people do hang snatches and no foot snatches is because they're bored. And I think that he might be kind of right with that, in that I think that there is, you know, a certain point where variation is to keep you interested. But I also don't really think that's a bad thing. Like, if you can make, because at the end of the day, training should be kind of an enjoyable process. Like, you should be kind of be excited to go in. And if it feels really monotonous, then you're just not going to have the same kind of intensity that you bring to the training session when it's, you know, when we're rotating exercises on a monthly basis.
Yeah, it's nice to actually have to look at your programming to know what you're supposed to do. And not just be like, oh yeah, today's Wednesday, I do this, this, and this.
Well, I don't think you can address technical flaws just doing snatches and clean and jerks, though. That's why we break things apart. So I don't completely agree with, like, John Bros as far as, like, yeah, you should be doing things that help your overall lifts get better, and sometimes you need to break those things down.
Yeah, I think that there's definitely, you know, if you're still learning technique, like, Tyler's the first person that I ever felt was
ready to try. And Tyler beat John Rose lifters anyway.
Not untrue. That
poor kid.
Yeah, that was he had a bad knee.
He looked like he had a hard weight cut, and the altitude was getting to him.
Yeah.
He looked like he was just not having a good time.
Yeah, because nothing looked particularly heavy for him. It was just a little mistimed. But yeah. I think, getting the time to work on those kind of technical things. I know that you're looking forward to doing some reps again, getting your conditioning back up.
Reps till I puke.
Yeah.
It's a good chance.
We've only done that. We've only made you throw up once during a training cycle.
I'm pretty sure it's been like 3 times.
Really?
Yeah. Is it just during squats?
It's usually squats.
Squats, yeah.
It's some sort of squat variation. It's been like twice where it was just high rep squats, and then once where I did it to myself. I was doing squats and Aerodyne at Black Box, and that one got me real bad.
So yeah, definitely the appeal is there and the fascination is there, where it's really interesting to say, okay, well, what do I need to do? Snatch and clean and jerk, that's the sport. These are the only two lifts that matter. And then squats help drive your leg strength, but outside of that, you know, if you're focused and your technique is good, theoretically, it's like, maybe I can get away with squatting multiple times a week, but I don't know. We saw bigger increases in your squat performance overall when we squat 2 to 3 times a week.
Yeah.
So I wonder about, you know, the allure is there because people think about it, and conceptually maxing out all the time is really fun. Going in and doing daily squats is like, I mean, it just sounds fun, but the actual lived experience is a little bit different after the first couple weeks.
Yeah, more is not better.
Yeah, four to 6 weeks of maxing out is fun. Just save that for the end of the cycle. Yeah. Any more than that, it's not fun anymore. You tried the same weight 30 times and still haven't hit it.
Yeah, and that can get a little disheartening. You know, if you're thinking about it, you know, it might be worth running that experiment, but you gotta be prepared for it to be more grueling than you imagine. And yeah, I mean, I think it was a valuable learning experience though. Like,
oh yeah,
you learned that, you know, just because you're beat up doesn't mean you can't make the weight. I think that's a really valuable lesson, that if you feel crappy coming in, you might still have a great training day. Because I think that the couple of times you did 130, you didn't feel particularly great at 90 or 100.
No.
Yeah. So I think that that's a valuable lesson, that, you know, if you are feeling kind of beat up, that doesn't necessarily indicate what your performance is going to be that day. I think that lesson is a really important one. But you don't have to learn it yourself.
So how you feel is a lie?
Sometimes. But sometimes how you feel is accurate, and you're just going to do just terrible things.
Damn.
But yeah, I think that, you know, the problems with it is you can't really address technical faults, because by the time it shows up, we're 2 weeks out from the meet, and we don't really have much time to
try to fix anything. I think we did one week where we did a couple of variations just to try to like hammer those positions a little bit more.
Yeah,
and did like a single dose of pulls 1 week. But if you're having to make those adjustments, you know, then you're not really doing the Bulgarian program anyway, if you're having to adjust things. So you could probably just start from a point that you don't have to make those, like, oh no, adjustments 2 weeks out. And, you know, admittedly, this whole thing was an experiment, like we said, so it was a gamble. Because it was either going to be you had the meet that you had, where you hit some PRs and did really well, or you were going to crash and burn. And there wasn't really a whole lot. Like, it was a bit of a... It was a coin flip. And I'm happy that it went the way that it did. But I think that we... I think that, you know, it was a worthwhile experiment in that I've never made anybody do this style of training before. We've done multiple times a week squatting before, but we always kept, you know, more exercise variation or more reps early in the cycle. Mm-hmm. It was just squatting 4 or 5 days a week, but not to max. And I think that, you know, the higher frequency stuff is good. I think that, you know, snatching and clean and jerking multiple times per week, especially leading up to competition, is an important thing to do. But I think that you can manage fatigue a little bit better than following it to a T, and just kind of taking some of the principles of, you need to do a lot of snatches and a lot of clean and jerks. And it does that really well.
Yeah.
But there's just a few things that, you know, it leaves off the table. And you have to make some sort of variations. And I don't think even, you know, the people that do kind of an Americanized Bulgarian method tend to inevitably end up including, you know, pulls or accessory work or, you know, that sort of stuff in there rather than just doing a couple of hip extensions and some ab work. You know, I think that making sure that, because if you're, one of the things that I think is really important is doing single leg stuff and doing single arm movements and maintaining that kind of muscular balance. And I think that the state that your IT bands landed in was because we didn't do any sort of single leg, you know, balance work. It was all just that, you know, bilateral single plane movements. And I think that, you know, it's really important to kind of be in shape and just kind of be able to do a lot of different things. So yeah, I think that any last thoughts on
anything you want to add?
No. Just don't do it.
Don't do it.
It was pretty miserable. Yeah, definitely felt crash and burn coming into the meet. So glad with the outcome that it wasn't a crash and burn.
Yeah.
But 3 weeks leading up, I was like, oh yeah, we're probably not doing anything that we thought we were going to do. It's going to go real bad. Just show up and lift some weights.
And hope for the best.
Yeah.
And I think that that's also, you know, a criticism is, you want to feel confident going into a meet, and you don't want to be kind of rolling the dice on, did I taper enough to be recovered in time? And that, you know, because there was a chance that you were going to actually recover 2 days after you were supposed to lift. You know, there's always that chance. And I think that, you know, as from a mental perspective, you want to feel really confident going into the meet. And if you're missing too many lifts in training, you're probably not going to be as confident forcing yourself under the bar.
Yeah, definitely not.
It's interesting.
Yeah, so don't do it unless you want to be miserable.
Yeah. But if you do want to be miserable, eat a lot extra. Just eat so much. You All won't right. move up a weight category. I think you lost a couple.
I stayed around where I needed to.
Okay.
I definitely feel like I lost a little bit of muscle in there, so we'll have to do some work to get that back.
Yeah, I like a lot of bodybuilding work in the program. I think it's usually pretty good. So, Mundo, what have you been thinking about this week?
What have I been thinking? We're gonna go into a philosophy portion.
Why not? I think we have enough time, right?
Yeah, we've got enough time.
Anything bothering you this week?
No, not really. It's actually been like a recovery week for me, so I've kind of just stayed under the radar and just really just try not to think about anything too stressful, because I was already stressed out before AO2 a little bit. I don't think I'm going to coach and lift in the same meet ever again. Like, I really don't want to do that.
Yeah, that was... I had registered for the meet to lift, and by Friday night, I was realizing that I was not really in the best place to do any sort of competing like that. So I think, I'm with you. If you're... It's hard because you have to make that call of, like, you know... Because we're both still athletes. We want to train. We want to improve our totals. But at the end of the day, coaching is the important thing.
Yeah. I think for me, I think being a coach is more what I'm headed towards, as opposed to being an athlete. I mean, I'm a master, and there's only so much that I'm going to be able to accomplish. There's some masters that are hitting national level totals and competing at AO finals and things like that. I'm just not sure I'm going to be one of them. So for me, my focus is probably just going to be on, you know, getting strong and maintaining my strength as I age up, and then probably just competing here and there as opportunities arise. But I think coaching is probably going to be more of where my realm of responsibility and interest lie.
Yeah, and especially if we keep fielding huge teams to these meets.
Yeah, so like taking if we go to AO3 and we take 15 people, like, I still don't want it. We did that last year at AO3 in Las Vegas, and that was pretty stressful. But I think I just want to help guide other people to a treasure that I can't possess. And I think that's going to be my realm of responsibility. But like, if I can get other people to AO finals and get them to nationals and get them competing at the levels that they want to compete, like, that's where my sense of accomplishment and my sense of like purpose is going to be kind of aimed at.
But yeah, I think overall, great meet. Tyler survived. We don't recommend trying it. And yeah, I guess I think we can, you want to wrap up there?
Yeah. So hey, if you guys want to support the podcast, follow us on iTunes, subscribe and like. And then if you want any questions answered, or if you have any questions for us, you can DM us on Instagram or send us an email at albuquerquestrengthacademy.com. is our website, but it's asaweightlifting@gmail.com for our email. So if you got any questions, let us know. If you want to join the team, we have a few spots left open. We're getting pretty full. So if you want to hop on to this next training cycle, we're probably going to lead up to New Mexico Games for that one. And it's a good time to hop in if you want to get started.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. Let us know if you have any questions, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Until then, happy lifting.